Praise the Lord again, church. Such an awesome presence of the Holy Ghost in this place this morning. We had a great Bible study. You can be seated with Brother Bustard, and he'll be coming out shortly and preaching to us. I want to welcome, if you're a guest of ours, welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. It's so great to have you here visiting with us today. So great to have everyone back from camp. And I hope you had an awesome weekend. We had some of our young folks got the Holy Ghost up there. We'll get all of that together and celebrate that all together. But we have some giving options this morning. If you're worshiping today in person, you can drop it off out in the kiosk, and then also you can mail it in, Calvary Gospel Church, 5301 Commercial Avenue, or you can text to give. And if you'd like to give to Brother Buster this morning and his ministries, you can take and just text to give if you'd like to do it that way, and you could just put Martin Bustard behind that in your text, and we'll make sure that it gets there. But so great to be here today. So great to have all of us back. I kind of feel like we're in a home stretch. Summer. We had some hot, I tell you, we went up there to camp, and it was blistering hot when we got up there in the 90s. And I'm so thankful that we have air conditioning in our tabernacle now. That was so awesome. Brother Jerry and Brother Kelvin and Marvin and Brother Noah Strand and Jim Rivest took care of all of that for us a few years ago. But then it got cold. And you go from running an air conditioner, being so hot you can't hardly stand it, to running a furnace. And that's camping. That's how it is, isn't it? And we saw at least three seasons at camp. If we'd have stayed another day or so, we might have seen some snow. But anyway, so we have also coming up, and we have our prayer meeting this Friday evening. So don't forget that. We have our all-church prayer Friday evening. We're excited about that. It'll be here in the main sanctuary. And then also, if you can save the date for October 1st, we're going to have our Summer Fun Fest this summer. We're excited about that. Excited about everybody just being able to get together. So we've got some fun, some food, some worship. And we're going to have also with our Summer Fun Fest, we have here at Calvary Gospel Church, last we had counted anyway, we had about 42 different nations represented here at Calvary Gospel Church. Now we have Brother Fabian Martinez. He's our Spanish pastor. And he will be speaking that day. And then we also have Brother Claude Opka, and he will also be part of the service. So we also have our Hmong service, Brother Mao, and he will be here with his congregation. They have Saturday night. They had service here last night. So we'll all be here together on Summer Fun Fest, celebrating All Nations Day here at Calvary Gospel Church. We got an awesome menu planned. We're going to be having street tacos. We're going to have some beef tacos, some chicken tacos, and some pork. And we're just excited about that. And it's just fun to get together and fellowship. So with that, we're going to sing a worship song or two, and then Brother Buster is going to come and preach. God bless.
So we sing hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
All the glory,
all the glory,
all the honor,
all the honor,
all the praise,
all the praise. You deserve it.
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 The Lord, all that we can give, all that we can give and more. Hallelujah. Oh. I'm gonna dance. Nobody's watching, nobody's watching me dance for you, my Lord. And I'm gonna sing for you like nobody's listening, nobody's listening. Sing for you, my Lord. Like nobody's watching.
Nobody's watching. Nobody's watching.
Dance for you.
Silence me, shout it out if you believe. I'm not afraid, I'm not ashamed.
Let's all stand this morning. Praise God, praise God. There is such a powerful presence. I just want to encourage you. I don't know what you need this morning, but I have a God that can fulfill all needs. It is so great to have. I want to apologize first. I totally missed our Cheese for Christ promotion for our youth this morning, and I apologize for that. I will make it up somehow, some way. But Move the Mission is their theme this year, and we'll be hearing more about that in services coming up. But it's so great to have Brother Morton Bustard here with us today. Taught in our adult Bible class. If you were not here, I encourage you to listen to that. Go online and listen to that. It will be an encouragement to you. So great to have you here, Brother Morton Bustard. God bless you. Come preach to us this morning.
Let's give the Lord a big, big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. He laid the foundations of the earth. He fastened them in place. He put the cornerstone where it belongs. He put gates around the sea and said, this is where your proud ways will be stayed. He measured every speck of dust. All of earth's water is in the palm of his hand. He touched the mountain and it smoked. He lowered the hills, exalted the valleys. He made the crooked straight. He numbered the stars and called them by name. His arm is not short that it cannot save. His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. Can we give him another praise? First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 down through verse 5. And to the media team, thank you for keeping these monitors hot. Whatever is in the air, I don't want it to affect me for the next little bit preaching, because the next 2 hours are going to feel like 30 minutes. Amen. I greet Bishop John Grant today and his sweet wife. I greet Pastor Roy Grant, his sweet wife, the leadership team, the members of the church, all of the guests. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord to worship with us. This is a great day for you to receive a miracle. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 down through verse 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Are you going to help me today? Oh, come on. You're coming through COVID. You can do better than that. You ought to work me over for the next 25, 30 minutes. Whatever God has invested in me for you to hear today, you ought to get every syllable pulled off the tip of my tongue before I leave this building. Amen. I'm going to preach a few moments on signs, wonders, and miracles. Would you lay the Bible down and give him another thunderous round of applause? You may be seated. In 1938, my Uncle Earl, my mother's brother, we called him Uncle Earl, began to pray for his sister and her family, which would be my family, to come to God, to get that beautiful Pentecostal experience. He never gave up. And 20 years later, around 1957, 1958, my oldest brother, who has gone on to be with the Lord, was the first in our large family to come to God. Mother came in, more brothers came in, sisters came in, and then they tell me that on a Tuesday night around 57 or 1958 in that little Pentecostal church in Black's Harbor, New Brunswick, Canada, my father walked in. Sometime during the service, which was in progress, he stood up and raised his hands and said, "Here I am, can you help me?" He did get baptized in Jesus' name. He did get filled with the Holy Ghost. But his repentance was so thorough that when he got up from repenting, they tell me that he never drank alcohol or smoked cigarettes from that moment forward. And then, of course, several years later, I was born. But my home was born in the midst of an apostolic revival atmosphere. So much so that they tell me that in that neck of the woods in eastern, down in south, the southern part of New Brunswick, that the tobacco dried up on the store shelves because men and women stopped smoking it and chewing it. And even though we did not know the terminology of home cell groups, fivefold ministry, and prophetic ministry, the living room of my parents' home became the place where the fires of God would burn in house prayer meetings and the gifts would operate. They may not have had full knowledge what they were speaking, but right then and right there, destinies and futures were laid out in prophetic utterance. Then when I was about a year and 6 months old, my father, I believe it was Sunday evening, was turning the car in the driveway to take us to church. Whoever was tending to me, I got out of their grip, and I came in behind that 1959 Pontiac. And it hit my chest, and it probably or perhaps went over different parts of my body, but they did tell me it did go pretty much completely over my head, and it began to, you know, it kind of had an effect of squeezing the head in some. If only there would have been car alarms and backup cameras and automatic braking system back then. Then again, I couldn't have given you that testimony. They thought that I was dead, and someone scooped me up and I made some type of a sound. They rushed me to the hospital, and after doing a battery of tests, they released me after 18 days without a broken bone in my body. I don't know, probably around the age of 7, 9, 8, whatever, I had this affinity that developed in me for the things of God, the gifts of God. And I would pray and I would feel at the time that God was talking to me, but I was too shy and insecure to share that with anyone. But I've shared with you before, I do remember those nights tuning in that the AM radio all the way up in Canada from Wheeling, West Virginia, WWVA, and I would listen to R.W. Shambaugh preach those tent meetings. And that just stoked the flames. And God began to use me, and now some 40 years later, after entering the ministry, 40 years nearly of marriage, the Lord has allowed me to travel around this world more than once, and we've witnessed myriad miracles, signs, and wonders. It has been an amazing journey, and I have no regrets. I love what I do. I'm wired to do this. I'm blessed to do this, and I am absolutely honored and humbled to be back in Madison, Wisconsin, where we have the stage set today for God to heal your body. This will be a moment of miracles. Can you hear me in the house? You may have to turn the volume up a little bit more in the house because I'm going to do a sound check, because I came all this way to have revival with you. I haven't come to party with you. I haven't come for us to slip off to the diner and share a meal with you. I have come to have a Holy Ghost revival.
If you believe that ominous clouds are lengthening and converging upon our nation and around our world, if you believe that there is some type of a global reset happening right now, you pray tell me why we're not at least having the same energy level as the spirit of the age. You made promises. During the COVID lockdown, you said, oh, Lord, if you'll bring me through, I'll give it 110%. Well, you're at about 60 right now. This is not how you get a great offering, but that's not my priority. I want to see you be everything that God has called you to be. And you that are watching by way of the webcast, when the time is right, get on back into the house of God and pack it out and have Holy Ghost revival. There are some things you can do on a webcast, and I know there are those with compromised immune systems, and there are those who are health caregivers to people with compromised immune system and comorbidities. You have to be very careful, but when this thing finally clears up, get on in here, because the Bible tells us to lay hands on the sick. This is not your message if you're not going to get with me now. Because I'm just getting warmed up. Because Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, when I come to you, it won't be to demonstrate the education that I've acquired all these years sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, Hebrew of the Hebrews, putting on the dog, or for those who have gone a little further with your schooling, being ostentatious. On his second missionary journey, as he was established in the church at Corinth, he said, when I come to you, it will not be with eloquent oratory or enticing words of man's wisdom. But I will come to you with the demonstration and the power of the Holy Ghost. So that your faith will not be established or stand upon or in the wisdom of men. Before I go any further, all of our health care providers, doctors, nurses, and anyone in the category of a healthcare provider, would you raise your hand? We give you a big ovation right now. You were on the front lines, and many of you still are. When all of these reports were coming in from China up into northern Italy, you had to walk into situations you did not know what you were getting into. You're a better person than me. I want you to realize I am not disparaging any of you in any sense of the term. I just want to make a point here today. Here's why Paul told the church at Corinth what I just shared with you. Because right before he arrived in Corinth, he had gone to Athens, which at that time had a population of 250,000 people. Pretty interesting when you realize in 1776, New York City's population was 14,000. And so he goes to Athens. He goes to Mars Hill, he's at the Areopagus, and he encounters the Epicureans and the Stoics and the academics and the erudites, the learned, the artisans, those who had composed the lyrics, the literature, and so forth and so on. And that was pretty much the highest court in the land. That's where decisions were made that would affect culture and societies for many, many years to come. And he engaged them, and he was apt to do so because of his background, because of his education. And there was some debating that went on, and he was good at it. And there was some back and forth. But his success rate was not high in Athens, Greece. There were a few that believed, but many of them said, let's hear the matter later. And there was a man and a woman who were not married to each other, who were of the upper echelon, who became believers on that visit to Athens, Greece. But after that experience, when he arrived at Corinth, he said, I learned something in Athens. I kind of reverted. I leaned upon my education and I engaged them in debate and so forth. But Corinth, you're not Athens. And I'm not going to do here what I did there. I'm going to rely upon my real strong point. I'm going to lean upon what I know absolutely works every time, 100% of the time. I am not going to try to argue or debate to try to convince you. I'm going to come in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, my family, many times, my immediate family, my siblings, have been recipients of man's wisdom. And a lot of it has come from the medical community, and I'm grateful, and I'm in debt. But we've reached a place in our world, in our nation, where something happened. I want to make it very clear. I don't want COVID-19, and I would never want to give COVID-19 to anyone. I'm not being dismissive or cavalier. I've probably had at least 12, maybe 14, 16 colleagues who either died from it or with it. I can name names. I can tell you about people who were suspended belly down, spread eagle over hospital beds. I'm not being dismissive of it. I just wish we could deal with the virus without politics getting involved. June of last year, my Prime Minister of Canada went on national TV and said, COVID-19 has given us a great opportunity to basically wipe out poverty, deal with climate change, and do a global reset. Now, he was one of several world leaders that said that. We went to bed in March and awakened to a brand new world. This, what I'm about to say, now you know I'm having fun with you. You know this is just me rallying with you and doing a little poking to keep you attentive. That may not have a good effect, some of the things I'm going to do. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not about you and me. Can I tell you who it's about? George and Jack. Oh, you don't know George and you don't know Jack? George is my 3.5-year-old grandson. Jack is my 11-month-old grandson. Kind of like back there in Pharaoh's day. Those plagues, everything. And finally, Pharaoh said, Moses, you're an old geezer. Get on out of here. But leave the kids. I've got as much work out of you as I'm ever going to get. Ah, but look at those young bucks. I want them to build my pyramids. I want them to make brick. There is something in the atmosphere that is trying to get into the psyche of our children that government is God. And some of you still haven't moved. You haven't flinched. Because I'm looking at you straight on. I'm looking at you out of my peripheral. And my radar is already picking you up. There is something happening that is trying to get into the psyche of our children that if the government says, you can go outside, you can go outside. If the government says you can get within 6 feet or even 3 feet of a classmate, you can do it. It's an intimidation thing. Oh, no, no, no. I'm not saying that there were not measures taken because they did not fully understand exactly what they were dealing with. And I'm not in that bracket. I'm not an epidemiologist, a virologist, an infectious disease expert. But I'm very blessed to have a lot of friends in the AMA community. Because we used to come to church expecting signs, wonders, and miracles. But then something happened, and we couldn't come to the house of God to have signs, wonders, and miracles. Well, that's all right. We have to be careful. But I just didn't realize that God gave Sam's Club, Walmart, Costco, Home Depot, Lowe's a special dispensation. I just didn't realize that. Because we're acting like we're never going to die. But I've got news. If the Lord tarries, we're going to enter the next life through the grave. And nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ took the sting out of death. But around March of 2020, the enemy tried to put it back in until we felt the sting and the smart of it. Don't be too quick to judge. My home has been on a journey for the last 3 years. I have been forced to walk among the hopeless, the hurting, and the helpless and the dying. That's why Jensen Franklin said when he and Anthony Mangan went on TBN, he made the statement, you heal what you heal. I think that prophets ought to be judged. It's in the New Testament. We ought to have a presbytery. We ought to have elders who are trained in spiritual enterprise who can rightfully judge prophecy. That's what the Bible says. The judge prophecy. You ought to hold me accountable. I'm just glad I'm not an Old Testament prophet. That one guy had to lay on his side for how long? Other guy had to walk naked through the streets. The other one had to eat cow's dung. He didn't like that. God said, well, go ahead and make it better. Mix it with... He had his own. He said, well, mix it with cow dung. That's Bible. I'm glad I'm not in that dispensation. I just think that accountability ought to be across the board. Because what I'm trying to tell you is this. The best and the brightest and the most intelligent have made mistakes. But yet there are some, not in here, in our world, in the secular world, who would try to make you look like an oaf, inept, incompetent, unintelligent,
Because you believe in the hereafter. Because you believe in the virgin birth of Christ. Because you believe he was crucified and buried, and 3 days later he resurrected. Because today a billionaire just went up into space in one of his own crafts. But you don't have to be a billionaire to get on beyond the atmosphere and the stratosphere. You don't have to go to NASA and go into the pool and learn zero gravity and be put in that gyro, whatever it is, and go through all of these maneuvers and do an IQ test to see if you're compatible to board some kind of a spacecraft. Because in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to be changed. You're going to put on immortality. They think that you're strange because you do put faith in doctors and medicine to a certain degree. But the first one you come to is Jesus Christ. And you say, oh Lord, you've got 39 stripes on your back. On the authority of your word and in the name of Jesus, I pronounce my healing right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. So what I'm saying is this. God is not behind COVID-19, but he always was way out in front of it. The setback may be a setup. Because we are seeing how frail and fleeting life is. It's called the evanescence of life. We were born into the land of the living to die into the land. We were born into the land of the dying to die into the land of the living. We believe that there's an invisible power in this house that can instantly cure stage 4 cancer. We believe that degenerative bone disease that has ravaged vertebrae and disc, you can have a new skeletal apparatus called a spine placed from your neck to your tailbone in you right now. All of the nerves, the tendons, the tissue, the muscle, everything that composes this kind of an orthopedic apparatus can be instantly healed right here, right now. And the orthopedic procedure will be a divine miracle instantly happening in your body. As a matter of fact, if you have an issue with your spine, this may be your moment right now. If you have chronic continual pain in your, well, that's kind of redundant. If you have chronic issues with your spine, you might ought to just raise your hands and feel the warmth of the Holy Ghost begin about here and go all the way down until it gets into that little area where the spine drops right into the butterfly bones of your hip, until you walk out of here completely pain-free and you wake up and go to work. No more pain. You don't have to try to adjust yourself on the bed every few minutes to try to get some relief. I believe that God, I don't know why I'm keeping on this. I just believe that I wouldn't be surprised right now if there's not a creative miracle happening in people's bodies or spines right now in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and shout it out. Go. I think that you ought to do that again, because somebody could have done it, but they didn't. But you're doing it for them. Do it for all of those for some reason who are a little bit reluctant. Hallelujah. Go ahead. That's faith. Walking down here, you don't need discerning of spirits. You don't need word of knowledge. A man walking down here, struggling to walk, struggling to take a few steps. Father, in the name of Jesus, from the top of his neck, all the way down through his spine, loose him in the name of Jesus.
You have a great church. You have a great leadership team. These men who are at the helm, they're very, very wonderful men, and they are no oafs. They are not slackers. The 4-inch of space, the real estate is occupied with a lot of brain matter, but you are not here because of the wisdom of men. How in the world does a Texan come here many years ago and raise up a great church in the liberal bastion of this neck of the woods? And here you've got preaching points. And if you were at 3,400 with everyone combined at some point, I'm believing you're going to surpass 4,000, 4,500, and 5,000, because the best has not yet been experienced. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. You have defied the odds. What you are doing here really doesn't make a lot of sense. How you grow, and you just keep on growing and growing and growing. And then during a lockdown, when you had draconian measures put upon you in your state and your government, here you couldn't even come to church, but yet you shattered financial records. That tells me that when you couldn't come to church, you still had church. When you couldn't come in person, you were here in spirit. That tells me when you were threatened to maybe lose your job and lose your car, and we didn't know if there was going to be a supply chain breakdown, when the packing houses and the chicken farms were locked down because of people getting COVID, you made God a priority, and you somehow got the tithe and the offering to the house of the Lord, and you shattered records. I guess what I'm saying is it makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's because it's not the wisdom of men. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. You see, here's the deal. We don't have to dot the I and cross the T on politics. It would be a waste of time to get into the minutiae and get mired down in that. I have one goal. Let's go to heaven together. Let's go to heaven together. And I am going to prophesy and tell you, with the spirit of the age trying to rend us apart, because they've got to do it. They have got to, they know something about the church that we don't realize. They've got to try to get hate and rage until we're judging each other. We're second guessing each other. We're operating that ninth gift of the Spirit called suspicion until we're really thinking some really, really bad thoughts about each other. They realize if they don't stop us, this can't happen. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the Democrat Party that's holding back the Antichrist. It's not the Republican Party that's holding back the Antichrist. It's not a Biden or a Trump that's holding him back. It's you. Some of you who don't even have a high school education, but you're full of the Holy Ghost. Nobody in D.C. will take your call. On either side of the aisle, nobody will show you any respect. But you're the problem, for greater is he who is in you than he that is in the world. You're the problem. You're the problem. And the enemy tried to tell you, don't you go back to that church. It's going to be a super spreader. Don't you go back, but you're here. But you're here. I walked into POA last week, July the 4th, wanted to hang out with my grandkids, George and Jack. But hanging out with Marilyn's not a bad idea. Is your Tim Mashadi Mary Lynn, my sweet Marilyn. Young man walks up, goes to shake my hand, and I just went. He said, I don't give fist bumps. I only shake hands. I said, cool, more power to you, and I walked away. I was a fist bump guy before COVID-19. You know me, I'm just uber cool, okay? Okay, I'm sorry, I can't deny. I'm just uber cool. No, it's not that. It's during the H1N1 epidemic, which was almost a pandemic, Vesta Mangan walked up to me at General Conf. She said, baby. And she gave me a fist bump. Well, I listened to her. She's 94. She's 94 years of age, and she's going to go preach in Michigan in a few days. Don't rebuke an elder. Listen to them. But you're here. You're here. That's the reason why. That's the reason why. I have to turn off that media. I got to get alone with Jesus. I'm not trying to pretend that I'm some man of great prayer life. No, but I love praying. I love praying. And I got news for you. Until I talk to your Father, I have no business talking to you. If all I have done, come to do, is to come in here and talk to you without talking to your Father, my priorities are out of place. See, you see, your Father loves you. He's crazy over you. He really wants to bless you. And for me not to have a little chat with him to see, hey, God, what's up? How do you want me to handle my homies right here in Madison? If I don't do that and have a talk with him, he's saying, hey, I'm Dad. Let me have a little input. Can I interject? Let me tell you something. When God has to interrupt, someone's not listening. So you don't have to turn here to this passage. So the man who's coming to the end in an old Roman prison, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, this is what he says. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning the zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. You stand with me on the lows. Where's my keyboard is at? Spirit of God moves on you. Interrupt. I'm going to go to verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Check the weight of this statement out and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So, translators deliberated and pondered and tried to get a consensus how to interpret dung. So can I just share it with you? I really can't tell you here because it wouldn't be Jack Dorsey from Twitter canceling me. Pastor Roy Grant would cancel me right here. And I can't blame that, Brother Roy, in a slip of a tongue like I did 5 years ago. You remember that slip, don't you? You still let me come back. You're a merciful bunch. But the term they come up with was scubalin. In the dignified way and maintain a little bit of decorum in saying it is animal excrement. That's what he said. Let's bring a little music. I count it but dung
Let's just be very clear. He's not saying education is done. Academia. He's juxtaposing it. He's saying, when you put this besides the knowledge of Christ, the power of the Holy Ghost, it's but dung. I shared some of this July of last year, but there's a few updates. I don't want to repeat a 2020, but I got to tell you, in some ways, 2020 may have been one of the best years of my 40 years of ministry, even when I couldn't get out. We had signs, wonders, and miracles. I shared with you in Vegas, a young lady, probably 28 or 30, diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in both lungs, completely healed and pronounced cancer free. Later on that year in Mandeville, Louisiana, God gave me a word for a young lady, probably 25, 28 or so, maybe 30. And she said, I felt that like I was over 90 because her back was traumatized with an automobile wreck. And it was chronic, just unbearable pain. And we spoke the word. And on my computer, I have the x-rays where it showed the spine moved. And I was involved in an endeavor in the state of Tennessee. I only went one night to a 4-night event, and this all happened when I left. I'm not going to take credit for something that didn't happen when I was there. But during that 4-night deal, first of all, there were thousands of people that were fed food in the daytime. So we weren't supposed to be there. And we weren't supposed to have a tent and have all these people show up. But when you're giving food out, the government kind of left us alone. So a lot of people were fed natural food. A few hundred got the Holy Ghost, and 106 people were baptized in the name of Jesus. Among them, two denominational pastors, a chaplain who got baptized, came up out of the water speaking in tongues, and a church in the greater Nashville area. The pastor's wife, their children, and over 80 of the members were all baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. 2020 was really a great year in many ways. It's sad. I don't want to repeat it. But then I come up here in July of last year, and Pastor Roy says, Brother Buster, this time, as opposed to this time last year, our church is blessed financially, and now it continues. And then Raymond Woodward in New Brunswick, Canada. Raymond and I grew up just a couple of hours from each other. They're still having to wear masks in church. I looked at their broadcast this morning, and all the members in the congregation all have masks on. And they can only have so many people, and they don't have a lot of COVID cases. You need to pray for Brother Woodward. He's carrying a cross right now. The first time ever in tithing their church exceeded $1 million was in 2020. God's trying to tell you something. He has you covered. So right now, if you need a miracle of healing in your body, whether it's a back condition or cancer, or whether it's a headache or a heartache, leave where you're standing and come down here right now. Jesus has a miracle. Just step into an aisle. Just step into an aisle. And you just took a step of faith. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, some of them are not going to stop. You're already in the aisle. You may as well come and spread out across here. Come on. Just spread out all the way across. Just spread out all the way across. Hallelujah. 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 Okay, I'm a seer. Can I have your attention for a second? I'm not part of the medical community, but I'm a seer. And I see the heart, and I see this blinking light, and it's blinking intermittently. It's not in cadence. There's something to do with the heartbeat. It's not steady. It's not steady. And there may have been procedures that have been done to try to steady the beat of the heart. It may be AFib or whatever, but anyone who has a condition in the area of the heart that is similar to what I just said, raise your hands up. You got your hands full. Are you mama? Can you the child for 1 second? What's the name?
Samuel.
Samuel. Samuel can almost hold you. Can I keep talking to you? Did you raise your hands up? I know the other hands were raised, but for some reason the Lord had me to concentrate right here. And if you don't mind just looking upon me for a second. So I'm going to speak over that heart. But I might be 1,000 miles off. But I'm supposed to pray for your esophagus. I'm supposed to pray for your digestive tract. I'm supposed to pray that not just here, but there will be a change happen all the way through your body so that when this goes on the blink, forgive me, it kind of blinks, that there won't be other symptoms that happen in your body and Jesus is touching your right. Would everybody praise God for 1 second? Now, in the name of Jesus, you're loosed right now in your heart. Tick tock like a clock. There, Lord, you just paddled it. You just defibrillated it right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. And you will not fear. For Jesus has touched you.
No.
There were more hands that went up when I called out the heart. There were, when I was calling out the condition of the heart, it wasn't just cysts. Been to the doctor with
them. Yes.
What have they said?
They said I need an operation.
They need you. That yet you need an operation.
Yes.
Have they performed that yet?
No, they haven't.
What's your first name?
Al.
Al.
Yes.
Jesus is going to touch you, Al.
Yes.
Al, do you mind if I keep talking to you?
Oh.
Fatigue. Chronic fatigue. Come out. Body.
Yes,
Al, you are. Certainly not old. You might not be a teenager, but you're certainly not old. And the Lord says He's touching your heart, and you're not going to put the tools in the tool shed just yet because you've got living to do. And you might as well live it up until He takes you up.
Thank you, Lord.
Can I keep talking to you, Al?
Yes, please.
Oh, put your hands back up. No more ringing or distortion in those ears in Jesus' name. There were more hands up when I was praying for the heart. Hallelujah. This is my friend, and I know this not by revelation. I'm going to come to you in 1 second. I saw another hand up over here, I thought. Maybe I didn't. I thought I saw another hand up. You're pointing to someone. Well, they don't have their hand up because I can't see a hand. If they want it, they're going to have to put their hand up. Okay. Hallelujah. Have my brother raise your hands up. In the name of Jesus Christ. Rabbah. I lay hands on the left side of your chest this day, and your heart right now is feeling the effects of the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost right now. I command the heart to be steady in the name of Jesus. And within a matter, in a much more shorter time frame than what may have been talked about in consultation, let let the need for meds wane until they are no more in the name of Jesus Christ, and blood pressure and heartbeat be loosed right here, and rest return to his, let rest return to his body, and let there be no tingling in the hands, let there be no numbness in the toes, let there be blood flow from head to toe in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Everyone dealing with an issue. You want me to pray for you, my brother? What is it?
My wife died of acute leukemia.
April the, what's your first name, brother?
Ray.
Ray, what was her name?
Amy.
Look upon me. Oh, Jesus, I've watched you mend bones, but I've also witnessed you mend broken hearts. Ray's Amy is with you, and he's here, and his heart is heavy. Heal him today from the top of his head through his body, and let Ray be enveloped in that peace that passes understanding. So Ray, have perfect peace in the presence of the Prince of Peace. Jesus, thank you. Issues with the thyroid, raise your hands up. I came over here for this reason. As I was walking right here, Jesus is touching you here right now. In Jesus' name, be loosed. Are you raising your hand for it, sis? Right here. Right now. And I'm going to pray for thyroid and Hashimoto's as well. And if that's what they've labeled your condition as, get your hand up. And also all autoimmune situations, raise your hands up. I'm coming your way. Are you raising your hand for one of these? What is it? Jesus is going to touch you. You like every I dotted, every T crossed. You have a personality that is similar to mine, similar to my wife's. You like everything done. And this has been an interruption. But it's not your identity. And you will not make it. For you will come out of it. Because it's coming out of you. In the name of Jesus. Anyone else with any of these conditions? You've been to the doctor. What is it, Mama?
I have thyroid problems.
Do?
Problem. And my neck's been on the joint a little bit, so.
So the thyroid, and you also said the hearing.
I can't hear on my ear.
You can't?
Almost.
Is it just the right one?
It's mostly the right one.
Have you had it checked out?
Yeah.
What percentage of loss do you have?
It's almost gone.
I have this feeling it's coming back now.
Praise God. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Loosed. Loosed. Touching you right now. I want you to confess. Say it. Say, healing is in my body right now. Boy, that's not the second hand, is it? That's the minute hand. It's 12:15. Ooh. I know that you were standing for this here in the ear, but before we prayed, were you in any type of pain?
My neck bothers me.
How long has that bothered you?
I was in a car accident years ago.
Thank God you're here.
Pardon me?
Thank God you're here.
Thank you.
Do you believe you heard our prayer?
Yes.
Check your neck out.
Please.
Check your shoulders out. How's the shoulders and neck now?
It's good.
It is.
It hurts a little.
You praise and that little will go. Jesus' name. Now let's dial in the hearing in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, I'm going to whisper in each ear, and I know it's that ear, but I'm going to start over here. And I'm going to close this one as I begin. And then I'm going to begin to speak in that ear. And I'm going to close that ear until it's almost uncomfortable. And then we will see. But if I tell you to close that ear, I want you to close it real good. You put a little more pressure than I do, okay?
Okay.
Plug that ear.
Hallelujah.
Plug that ear real good. Plug it. No, no, with your finger. Plug it real good. Wait. Shh. Can we all say hallelujah? Go let an ear doctor check that out. The Bible says prove all things. If you just need a little, you know, bit of oil in the spine, you know, God's 3-in-1 oil, little arthritis or a little deterioration, just a little shifting maybe of the spine. If you'll raise your hand up right now, I'll pray over that spine. That's why I'm here. Looked at you standing beside this dapper gentleman, and I said, he got a touch, and now she needs a touch. Would you raise your hands up? And I know I'm not going to pray for your spine, but for some reason, I'm going to pray over your area of your left shoulder now all the way down. In Jesus' name, let it be completely repaired. Not even a tinge, a scintilla. Not even the slight symptom or trace of a pain or discomfort in Jesus' name. Can I keep talking to you?
Yes.
Was your back in pain before I prayed?
Yes.
Shoulders now. How's it feeling now?
Things are better.
There is a history in your family that we're going to stop right here, right now. Please, if I miss it, just say, he meant well. I hope that doesn't offend you. Just say, he meant well, because I would never offend you in a million years. But that history stops now, and your history is not that. You're going to maintain a wonderful memory. Your cognitive skills and abilities and the things you had to put up with and witness in others. I'm telling you right now that the hand of God. And I've never said the cognitive side like that in nearly 40 years of ministry. I've never met you before, but God has touched you with peace right here, right now. Look at this woman. She won't mind at all if you want to look at her. That's why we fly here. That's why I get on those planes that are packed and I put on that stupid mask, is because this is what I'm called to do right here, right now. When I say renal, I can be referring to, of course, the kidney. I can refer to kidney, the bladder, and even UTI, because that's all kind of under the umbrella of the renal kidney situation. If you have any of the aforementioned, raise your hands up right now, because Jesus is touching you. Boom. In Jesus' name, he's touching you here right now. He's touching you here right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. If engineering engineering is in your capacity, and that's going to be part of your vocation, whether you are already in the engineering side or you're getting educated for the engineering side. And whatever type of engineering it is, it could be mechanical, it could be any type of engineering, anything, but engineering is part of it. If you'll raise your hands up right now, God is going to give you an encouraging word. And I see one hand up, I see two hands up, and I see the drum. Someone's pointing to the drummer, but I'm waiting here for another 3 seconds before I leave this area right around here. Another 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. I've got to go. I've got to go. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you go to Calvary Gospel. Who's the little fellow you're holding? Your son, Jack. Well, I guess you know Jack. Who's all with you? Is your last name Bustard? I'm the youngest of 19. I'm just having fun. You have a beautiful family. So you go to this church. Are you being educated or are you already there in practicing it? What's your last name?
Sandon.
I speak a word over every member of your family and the blessings of God upon you. Now, God's not going to have me call out your vocation, your career choice, but if you want blessings upon your career, your vocation, your business, whatever, raise your hands up right now. Because God's not just blessing him and his family. I speak the blessings of God upon you. In the name of Jesus. And I tell you prophetically that there is going to be a wave. There's going to be a wave hit this place in the name of Jesus Christ. I tell you that there is going to be a witness and a sign and a wonder in the area of how God is going to bless you, because he is positioning you and posturing you right now for what he's about to do in the name of Jesus Christ. I am telling you right now that it's going to finally be turned loose. If you're not a business owner, you just work for a business, put your hands up. The favor of God is on you as much as the business owner. In matter of fact, that business is blessed because you walk in there and punch the clock and you've got favor. Whether you're the custodian or you're the CEO, it doesn't matter. You walk in because you have the divine favor of God upon you. And I speak the blessings of God upon you right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. When I called for healing, did you come down? What can I pray for you for? What happened to your knee?
I don't know.
The worship team did an amazing job today. I paid close attention as you were leading out. That was spot on. And I'm not Bustard with the music ability. That would be my brother who's next to me. But it was just beautiful. Raise your hands. You may not know what happened to it, but you're going to know what happened to it right now to undo it in the name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. Anxiety, that's one thing. So I'm going to keep calling things out. A little hypertension, a little bit of worrying and so forth. Fretting, raise your hands up. To you, because he loves you, and he's saying to you, he's climbing up into your boat in the midst of your storm, and he's saying, peace, be still. Now I speak it over all of you who raise your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Peace, be still in the name of Jesus. Anybody want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues? This is a great Sunday morning to do it right now. If you'd like to receive it, you can come down here right now and receive. The God who is healed instantly will feel you instantly. You want me to pray for you, sweetheart? Who's here with her? Come on down. What's your first name? Maya, you're beautiful. And you have a friend with you. She's your cousin. What's your name? Maya and Madeline, you are two beautiful young ladies. You ladies need a bodyguard.
Yes.
I'll do what I can. You've given your heart to Jesus. Raise your hands up. Say, Jesus, wash me. Fill me, Jesus. May the Spirit of the living God, can you just join me right now in a chorus? May the, look at little Maya, look at little Madeline. May the Spirit of the living God come down upon them right now in the name of Jesus. Sweet Holy Ghost, everybody praise Him in the house. Everybody praise Him. You go ahead, young ladies, begin to praise Him. You go ahead and just begin to praise Him. He's going to be good. That's it. Keep praising Him. Keep praising Him. Come on. Help me. Help me right here. Help me right here. There you go. There you go. There you go. Speak it out. You might want to get in there close because I think something is happening right here with these two young ladies. Anyone else? Anyone else? He'll fill you. While they're praying. While they're praying. All the ones I did not get to pray for divine healing, raise your hands to the heavens right now. Everyone that I did not get to pray for healing, raise your hands up. Not in man's wisdom, but in the demonstration and power of the Holy Ghost, I speak healing from the top of your head through your body to the soles of your feet. I rebuke every ache, every pain, every malady, every disease, every lump, bump, growth, cyst, tumor. In the name of Jesus, anything on the body, in the body, family history, in the name of Jesus, infirmities, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke right now in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, my very, very dear friend, Bishop Grant, every time you've allowed me to pray for him, you have touched his body. So, Father, from the top of his head, through his body. Now, Pastor Roy did tell me that he has neuropathy in his feet, so I do that because I would never want anyone to think that I'm pretending when... No. If I speak it in his revelation, I'll tell you. If not, I'll tell you. From head to toe. I'm listening to God, but the Lord wants me to tell the members of this church as I'm laying hands on the bishop here that just as God healed this man's soul and bound up the broken heart of he and his sweet wife because of all the things they had to deal with, God says, I have lifted the soul of... God is telling me I have lifted the soul of this church. God is telling me I am reviving the soul of this church. God is telling me I'm going to give you strength when you're weak. God is telling you, God is telling me, you that are sick, you're going to declare, I am healed. He's touching your bishop right now. He's touching your pastor right now. He's touching you right now in the name of Jesus. Now, in just a moment, we're going to do the seed offering, but I have a greater request than for you to pray about sowing seed. I'm going to stand here, and with all of you, members and guests alike, would you point your hand toward me and just picture my wife beside me right here? Because I'm going to be in the receiving mode. It's time for you to pray for me. I want you to pray that God will order our steps and direct our path. I want you to pray that God will stretch us to step into the fullness of what He is calling us to do. I'm going to ask that you will pray a stronger anointing on revivals, but also wisdom for mentoring sons and daughters in the gospel. Would you pray for that? Would you pray that God would position us in the name of Jesus of Nazareth? I want to be effective. I want to be effective. I want to see a young generation get this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Allah bahushakata. I'm receiving it as you're praying for me right now. I'm receiving it right now. You saints of the Most High God, I am receiving your prayers right now. In Jesus' name. I've tarried a little bit too long. Would you stand all over the house? I want to thank you again for letting me nudge. I try not to push, but you let me nudge a little bit, because that's what I do. I admit that. If I sense that there's great potential, I'm going to try to tap into it. And we've had a great service. Thank you for being my family. Thank you for always standing with us. And we're not going to try to get in competition with last year's offering or any other offerings. Just if you will just raise your hands up. But I'd like for you, when you think about me, I would like you to think about the fivefold ministry. Evangelist pastors. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, but evangelists. Because we need revivals and we need evangelists. We need missionaries. We need pastors. We need missionaries. We need evangelists. We've got to have revival, folks. We've got to have revival. We've got to have it. So when you're raising your hands to ask God to direct you to soul, I want you to think about the evangelist ministry. And there's people out there right now that are starting to evangelize. They don't have a trail beat. So can we just lift them all up? We thank you for every servant who's in the harvest field right now. Every servant in North America and around the world. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. You know what? He's given me grace to get on those planes. I kind of overdid it 2 weeks ago. I went all the way to California, preached everything I had for three services with hardly any turnaround time, got all the way back. But that's what we're supposed to do. So with your hands raised, if you're not intimidated to ask Jesus to direct you in your giving, because I'm not intimidated to say, Jesus, what would you have me to do? Say this, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for blessing me. Move upon me right now. Challenge my faith. Lead me and speak to me in how I am to sow and what you say. I will obey. Just what you say, I'll obey. So with your hands raised, you know I'm going to do 150, 20, 10, 5, 1. If God says give 10, don't give 20. If he says more than 100 between you and him. But it will come to you. Don't argue with it. With your hands raised, don't think about me. Think about Jesus. Father, this is where we offer praise in our giving. It's not a need offering. It's a seed offering. And we thank you. So Father, would you speak right now? Would you lead and would you guide? Because these people are a given people. Good Lamb, they have sacrificed decades and decades, but Lord, guess what? I see the way bringing back in. They've cast their bread upon the water, and now it's coming in on every wave in Jesus' name. If you feel God is directing you, just wave your hand. You know you can do cash, check, or electronic, whatever, and Pastor Roy will receive this right now, really quick. If God is directing you to give around the $100 level, raise your hands, 50, 20, 10, 5, or 1, get your hands up. That's how we do the offering. That's how we do it. You see, if I embarrassed the bishop, I would embarrass Brother Roy. And if I embarrassed both of them, I'd embarrass all of you, but I don't do it that way. This is how we do it. So, can we thank God for a great offering? When you do what you're supposed to do, it's a great. Now, would you do me another thing? If you're going through financial hardship and you don't have money to sow, would you raise your hand up? Point your hand toward the water. Say, in Jesus' name, I give you water. The water has entered the ministry right now. You're going to get blessed over doing that. Now, would you raise your hands up, all of us? Say this. Say, Jesus, I sow. You grow. In Jesus' name, the harvest will come. And now I proclaim your blessing. May the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless you in ways that will overwhelm you. Would you welcome Pastor Roy Grant back? He's going to receive the offering. God bless you.
We can have our ushers. They have the baskets here. They're just going to come up here to the front. And as they come, I just want to, before we leave here this morning, this will be the last thing we do. And I just want to encourage you. I find it very interesting that when Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth, he could do no great work because of their unbelief. Nazareth is home. Your home, my home. It's where we're comfortable. Jesus did some awesome things in Bethany. Why? Because in Bethany, people believed. That's where Lazarus was raised. So we leave here today. When you go home, go home to Bethany. Don't go home to Nazareth. You follow me? Faith follows us. It doesn't just stop. So many times I think we leave it at church. Faith follows us. And God is desiring to finish what was started here in this place today. So if you were prayed for, you prayed for your healing, believe that God is going to heal you. If you're struggling in your health, your emotions, mentally, physically, I believe we talked about this in January, that God desires to heal your body. He desires to heal your mind, your heart, your soul. God desires us to be complete in Him. So let God, this week, let God be God. Exercise that faith. Look in the mirror and say, I am healed. I am healed. God healed me of a knee surgery, reconstruction knee surgery I was supposed to have. 2 days after I was prayed for and I feel God healed me, my knee went out as I was walking across the yard. I remember falling to the ground. And immediately the enemy looked at me, spoke to me and said, see, so much for that. And I did exactly what the minister instructed me to do. He said, if you ever feel pain, touch your knee and pray for it and rebuke it. Well, I've fallen since then, but not because of pain. I've suffered pain in my knees, not because of knee aches or knee issues. It's because God didn't design our knees to be on concrete for hours at a time. But you see, God healed my knee completely. And it's my job to take care of it. God bless you. Thank you so much this morning. Let's just stand. Spanish Vosis will be in here in about 20 minutes. Brother Fabian, we've gone a little over this morning. I hope you're, well, you have to be okay with that. We don't have a choice unless we just can change the clock back, but we can't do that. Thank you all so very much for coming out this morning, afternoon now. But let's pray as we leave. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your many, many blessings. I thank you, God, for the power and the presence of your Spirit that we feel in this place. Lord, protect our family. God, I pray for each brother and sister, no matter how young or no matter how old, that your hand would be upon them. Continue, God, the healing touch in our bodies. God, touch our hearts, touch our minds, touch our souls. Make us complete in you, Lord. God, help us to be a witness. Help us to be a testimony. To use our healing, to use our life-changing experience as a testimony of your greatness, of your power. Lord, our world is so hungry for truth. And Lord, you are the way, the truth, and the life. But God, help us to be that way. Help us to be that life. Help us to share that truth. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much to our worship team for hanging with us. Thank you.
Thank you.